welcome back. Okay, here we are back for our third half-hour segment of Richard Vaughan Live. Today is Thursday's edition. I'm with a curious fellow by the name of Javier Dowthig. His English needs a little bit of improvement, but he manages to get by. To get by es salir del paso, apañarse uno por los pelos. Eh? Yeah, he gets by. Destroying my language, I can't. When you finish, when this program is over, Nacho and I are going to come in here and pick up the pieces of the English language on the floor.
Okay.
We around try. Your chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't be so hard with me. Okay. Anyway, the thing is, I make some speeches in English. Of course, I need to improve. Yeah. Always finish to learn.
I have the broom and Nacho has the grind. Well, then, yeah. Tú tienes el recogedor, ¿no? Let's go by.
Okay,
right.
All right. You know, it's interesting. Nacho wears the mask in the control room. Yeah. I don't know why. Nobody goes in there. Well, Tino comes in. Also, Rob, the cleaning ladies, and everybody goes. Do the cleaning ladies clean in there? Yeah. All right.
Wow. If I have the chance to not wearing it, I would never do.
Yeah, no, I prefer to wear it in public.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't recognize me.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incognito mode.
In what?
Incognito mode.
Incognito. Incognito. We say in America, incognito.
Incognito, yeah.
Incognito.
And in English, the same? The same pronunciation?
In British, I don't know.
Yeah. I've heard incognito.
Okay, incognito. It's interesting, but incognito, city
again. Yeah.
We say incognito. Incognito.
Different accent.
In Texas, incognito. I'm going to go incognito.
I remember my
glasses
time.
On, hat on, mask yeah. on.
glasses, no, but I do wear, when I go out for walks, I wear, or go to the gym, I wear a baseball cap and the mask.
And the mask.
Mm. Then they can't without the baseball cap, they recognize me. They recognize my forehead, my eyes, yeah. and my hair yeah. from television.
And they stop you on the street?
Sometimes.
What do they
But it's
ask
always
you?
Good. No, they just Hi. Are Say effusive. Hello. They're so happy. Es que le veo todas las mañanas o le escucho desde el año, desde el siglo XIII.
To be fair, we used to listen to you when I went to school. Like, my dad used to take me every Monday morning to school. And we would always used to listen to you.
Listen to me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, Cristiano Ronaldo always listened to me when he was driving.
No, but it's funny that now we're here talking in your radio.
We've been trying to connect with him. Okay.
It's funny because some people have been probably devoted 300 hours of their life listening to me or watching me.
Yeah.
And it's when they see me in public, it's a strange sensation for them. Said, but this person really exists.
Cortocircuito in their minds.
Because you see, and one thing is an actor, you know, but they said, this person really exists. Or a
it's
taxi
not only
driver.
A voice. It's
a taxi
only
driver
voice.
Looks in the mirrors and when I start speaking,
yeah.
I say, you know, la calle
Whatever.
Goya con, o sea, esquina Goya con Serrano, por favor. Mm-hmm. They said, usted es el vagonese, ¿verdad? And especially Fitz, the fellow who takes over for me at 9:30, Fitz.
Yeah.
Y tiene una voz muy especial, en un acento malísimo español. And so the taxi driver said, usted es de vagon radio, ¿verdad? They catch, or even in a bar, because Fitz enjoys.
Yeah.
He's typically Irish, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he enjoys drinking.
Did
something.
You remember in that
Do you remember?
Do you remember? Yeah.
Do you remember when we been in the restaurant, that's one in Hamburger restaurant, very typical in Madrid.
Yeah.
They know some of them.
Ah, yeah, that was in, what's the name of that
I don't
place?
Remember. It's,
Alfredo's.
Alfredo's.
Barbacoa. Yeah. It's good.
It's very good. Yeah. It's very good.
Alfredo's Barbecue. Alfredo's Barbacoa. I think it's called that way. And they have two. They have one on La Gasca Street near the mm-hmm. Retiro Park.
But remember, we need to
Favorite
eat,
food.
You know,
to eat what?
Mm-mm.
In the El Brillante.
What is that?
I've never been there. You'll have to take me there.
Yeah, I'm going to take you there.
All right.
Why is it a good restaurant?
The best calamares. One of the best calamares placed in Madrid.
All right, good. All right. Well, look, I'm looking forward to it, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this man who with this strange English that you're hearing.
Strange? Is strange. They understand me. Chinese people
understand
me.
I'm not so sure.
Exactly.
I'm not so sure they understand you 100%.
The problem is when we talk with people in China, it's probably it's not the best place, you know, to communicate with English people when you find somebody from England is completely.
All right, but let's get back to your father for a minute, and then we'll get back to your daughter as well. Javier Delphic is the youngest child of Fernando Delphic, who's a very people who are expert in football in Spain. Everybody knows because he was the most successful coach in the history of Spanish football in terms of títulos ganados.
Yeah,
and you're in Europe as well.
In Europe, they have some article from the top, you know.
Yeah, ganó 4 títulos en primera división de la Liga Checoslovaca.
Yeah,
antes de la Segunda Guerra Mundial. Then he won 3 copas. No, perdón, 3 títulos de primera división en España.
Mm-hmm.
With Barcelona, 2 with Barcelona and 1 with Athletic Club de Bilbao.
Yes.
All right. And then he won 6 Copas del Generalísimo.
Seven.
Well, here it says 6.
Yeah, he says because they were in Atletico Madrid and he left the team before to got, you know.
Before winning the cup.
Exactly. But
he was the influencer.
No, he was, you know, officially he was the coach.
All right.
But in the, when you finish, you know, that period in the middle,
all right,
you have that cup.
All right. So he won 1 with Real Zaragoza, 2 with Athletic Club de Bilbao, and 3 with, Barcelona, and 1 with Atletico de Madrid.
Yeah.
Okay, good. He won.
And the semifinal in that 2 teams, with Athletic de Bilbao.
Okay.
He got, you know, the quarterfinal against Manchester United and the semifinal against Real Madrid in 1949, I think so. The semifinal.
All right.
Anyway.
So in any case, it's a very interesting person. And Javier also played football in Spain and in Britain in the second division? In Great
Britain? That time it was second division, yes. Chelsea was a poor team. And when I had, you know, poor team was not after Abramovich arrived there.
Okay.
But I had, you know, a meeting with Sir Stanley Rose, and he gave me the opportunity to go there.
All right. What was the secret of your father's success as a coach?
Like many people, they think, you know, just this question of money or powerful of the team. Of course, it's important, but the important thing is to have the right protocols and procedures to establish what are the basic indicators of the game.
The basic indicators, you say, a bit indicadores
de juego.
De juego.
Yes.
Well, what's a indicador de juego? Give me an example.
An example. One of the indicators is how many balls go to the final,
to the area
to get goals. Depends, if you analyze different teams, some of the teams, they got less than the others.
All right.
Why they get? For something. It's not for casual things. It's
not by coincidence.
Exactly. It's because somebody established, you know, the procedures and protocols, because this is have different points. One point is to prepare your team with the different training system to improve that indicators. If you improve that indicators, those indicators, you always improve the results.
All right. So the more balls that enter the area, passes to the area, the more probable it is you will score a goal.
Exactly.
It's just simply a question of numbers.
Exactly. Football is completely important. Points of analyze the different. It's like a mathematic, you know.
It's mathematical.
Game. Yeah, mathematical.
Well, I think most sports are.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah,
baseball is very mathematical. American football is very mathematical,
and they have that indicators. Then the indicators guarantee the improvement
all right.
of the game. Guarantee.
Okay, but then the defense team also has what you can call, they can destroy the play of the others.
Of course, they have this. It's a game. They mm-hmm. are a battle between the defenders and the forwards.
All
and
right.
they need to have, you know, the different procedures to
all right.
fight. In.
And who do you consider the greatest football player in Spanish history?
In Spanish history? Oh, it's very difficult to say. I think in the different periods, they have different great football right. players. And okay. I think it's in, if you analyze by teams, you know, Kubala and Alfredo Di Stefano, they are good friends, and I've been have very good, you know, communication between them and with Alfredo in the last mm-hmm. maybe 10 years in the Veteranos office right. in the stadium of Bernabeu Stadium.
Who's the best goalkeeper in Spanish history? Casillas?
Casillas, the goalkeeper you're talking
Who's
about?
Who's the best goalkeeper?
Okay, Casillas could be Iribar. Could be, you know, Carmelo in the period, you know, in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Depends the time they have, you know, different.
And who's the best striker?
The best striker depends the period, you know. But I think
I
it's in Di Stefano. And the striker is Di Stefano, one of them. And Kubala for other, mm-hmm. in the other hands, they have two. And many others, you know. José Eulogio Gárate was a great football player.
Gárate for Atlético de Madrid,
yeah,
right?
He find it. You know, my father find it in Deusto.
Your father found him?
Yes, found him, yeah.
So he was in Deusto?
When my father changed Barcelona Football Club to Athletic de Bilbao, you know, Athletic Club now, Athletic de Bilbao in that time,
mm-hmm.
and they went and they need to change because that team was a bit old. And they need to change the generation
all right.
to find a new players. Okay.
Okay. And Gárate was one of the new players.
Exactly.
But then he ended up in Atlético de Madrid.
Right, because they was not born in
Ah,
in
that's
Bilbao.
Right.
They were well, born in Venezuela. And they have another black one. It's Miguel Jones.
Yes.
It's a great football player. You know, it's
currently,
unbelievable.
Right now.
No, right now. He's I don't know if he's alive.
Oh, okay.
But Alfredo was talking about him.
All right.
Unbelievable player.
All right.
Unbelievable player. But nobody knows he's from Guinea.
All right.
But he was studying in the Deusto University.
And when did your father retire from football?
He said here in San Andreu, but he played after he was in Moscardó. You know, it's in Usera. You know, he was coaching there. The Moscardó team for I think for a couple of years more.
All right, until about 1980, maybe. When did your father die?
In 1986.
In 1986.
86, yes.
So he was training or coaching up until 1979 or 1980?
80 or 80, even yeah. 81, 82, because my father was in very good condition until the maybe 2 or 3 months before.
So your father lived during the Austro-Hungarian period. He lived through the First World War. He lived through the Nazi occupation, the German occupation.
The pandemia of 1920.
And the pandemia of 1918.
Oh, 18,
in
yes,
1918,
yes.
The Spanish flu.
With 8 years old, yes.
Yeah, did he Spanish get sick?
Flu, yeah. Did no, he, no, no, no.
He didn't.
Of course not.
And then he lived through the Soviet occupation as well, at
yes.
least the first years of the Soviet. Which was worse, the German occupation or the Soviet?
My father, in the period of German occupation, there was a agreement, you know, was a protectorate, they call it protectorate, between Czechoslovakia and Germany. The problem was not the Germans, the problem was the Nazis. The Nazis were completely crazy. And my father helped many, many people to go out from
to escape.
To escape, yeah.
Jewish people or people?
Jewish and many others, many
yeah.
others. And because my father in that time
was
very
famous.
very considered person.
A very well considered person.
Very well considered, yes. And they have, you know, Emil Zátopek, and they
yeah.
get, you know, many of the of the...
Yeah, Emil Zátopek was a long-distance and middle-distance runner. He was an Olympic champion. Yeah.
Yeah. 5,000, 10,000, and marathon.
5,000 meters, 10,000 meters in the marathon. Now, he's one of the most famous long-distance runners in history, Emil Zátopek.
Even now, until now.
Yeah.
Nobody got, you know, that's...
The 5,000, 10,000, yeah, Lasse Wierin won that in the Olympics in 1972, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He won the 5,000 and the 10,000 in the same Olympics. But you said Zátopek did it twice.
Yeah.
And the marathon.
And marathon.
As well.
The same.
So, yeah, he's the only one. Yeah. All right.
And he was, you know, they have the, I don't know how they call it in English, you know, the sistema de entrenamiento.
The training.
The training system.
The training.
For running, you know. And they've been talking together and they get, you know, many.
Your father and Emil Zátopek.
And Emil Zátopek.
All right.
And anyway, it was very good, you know, for him because why I was always thinking, you know, why my father was involved in the coaching so much. Was for some reason. My father was very, very, very good master of chess.
So he was a good chess player.
Very good chess player. He was playing with masters.
Grandmasters.
Grandmaster. And he loved and he played, you know, very often at home, but mm-hmm. he played with many, many top players.
And that helped him strategically.
I think he got, you know, that tactic and the systems that he was analyzing was the leader. Even until now, you know, the system is basic to help.
All right.
The technical part of the teams.
All right.
With that tool, you have something extra.
You know, okay, penalties. Penalty kicks. Just the other day we watched Spain lose against Italy because of penalty kicks. And then we watched Great England lose against Italy in penalty kicks. And it was interesting because, in fact, the English coach purposely, deliberately, put in two players in the last minutes in order to be involved in the penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the two who missed. Okay, what's the sequel? What was your father's strategy or strategy for penalties?
Ferdinand Dautschik, in his history, they were in the situation of penalties in many cases. And he got, you know, the percentage was probably around 85% of success, 85 to 90.
Why?
Because they have, you know, a system, okay? That system, they have a model system. That model system have, you know, the tool, you know, to give the goalkeeper some model of strategy.
So the strategy is the goalkeeper.
It's the defensive strategy. No, and the one to
and the kick and the kicker.
The kicker, yeah. The All kicker, right. They need to know another part.
Okay, let's look at the strategy for the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker.
Okay, what's the strategy?
The kicker, first of all, they have the confidence to
okay, kick. Good. We know that. Okay, confidence.
No, confidence.
Psychological.
Exactly. First of all. After is the pens.
And then
they need to have clear what is the experience that they have in the kicker experience in how many goals and how they do it.
Fine.
Some of them, they do it, you know, quite well. And some others, they don't know. When you don't know exactly what to do, you need to try to kick strongly, okay?
All right.
And try to don't lose, you know, the part of the goal.
Okay? And try not to miss the goal.
Not miss the goal.
Well, that's, this is the cajón. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, yes,
don't
yes.
tell me these
no,
things.
No, no, no. This is the cajón. But this is the cajon, but that yes. cajon what's, is not so...
This is very...
What's the structure?
This is obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious. This is obvious. Let's go to some specific...
Specific...
I want you to tell me something that people know,
one,
don't know.
No. One of the things when we've been talking with that Gallego player.
Fine.
Is Luis Suarez.
Okay, good.
You know, they was talking about the Paravinha, okay?
And fine,
they
Luis say, Suarez.
What's the strategy?
They said, you know, that the people think Paravinha is created by the Brazilian. That is not true. They
but
said...
Se nos acaba el tiempo. If you don't get to the point...
The
point was, you know, the strategy is to establish, you know, to make a paradinha first, and after to decide where you're going to kick, you know, to the one of the sides.
To make a paradinha.
Now, okay. Paradinha, they control that the goalkeeper don't move, you know, forward. Because before, you know, now they have a rule, they need to have at least one of the feet
on
the line. But before, they was not so controlled, and they need to keep them in the line.
All right.
And for that reason, you make the paradinha. And that is
what's the
one.
What's the paradinha?
The paradinha stop before to kick.
Slow down and stop.
Exactly. They said, you know, Luis Suarez, the Gallego player, they said, you know, they are Brazilian. No, they are Ferdinand Dauci, they create. Because right. Kubala, they did it.
Who's the best goal? Who's the best penalty kicker in
Spain? I don't have the...
Sergio Ramos?
I don't, completely not. Sergio Ramos have confidence, and for that reason, his success, because they have confidence. But I think it's one of the, if you analyze, you know, how many goals he got, you know, in the penalties, probably is one of the.
And for the goalkeepers,
I think, you know, Ronaldo is a very good one.
Who?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right. Now, the goalkeeper, should the goalkeeper just stay in the middle? Or
should he keep parar.
Okay. Stop.
Stop. You know, the balls.
Of course.
The balls in the highest percentage where the balls used to go.
Usually go,
exactly.
Well, what's the highest percentage?
The highest percentage you need to get, the corner,
mm-hmm. highest,
you need to get out of your model system.
Mm-hmm. When you get out. Me.
The thing is, you know how the size of the is 7.25, 24.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if you get 1 meter from one side, you reduce, you mm-hmm. know, the area,
the area
to 5.24. In 5.24 is the most of the balls used to
usually
go for that part.
Okay, of course, nobody gets used to it.
Used to, no. Okay,
used to es el pasado. For example, if you say, how do you say?
I used to be happy in my last week.
Suelo. How do you say? Suelo saludar a mis amigos.
I used to say hello.
No.
I used.
Eso significa antes decía hola a mis amigos.
Uh-huh.
¿Quieres decir que ahora no? For example, suelo besar a mi mujer cuando me vaya. When I leave my house.
Yes.
¿Cómo se dice? Suelo besar a mi mujer.
I usually kiss my wife
before leaving home.
Leaving home. Okay.
I used to kiss my wife means now you don't. So you need to be really careful.
It's something
that has finished that you don't do anymore.
Something I used to means, you don't do it anymore. So if you say, you know.
Usually.
You used to wear nappies, but you don't anymore.
Yeah. Okay. You used to wear nappies. In America, we say you used to wear diapers.
Oh,
but you
diapers.
Don't anymore. Yeah. You don't anymore.
Used to use diapers.
Yeah, antes llevaba pañales.
Not now.
Well, maybe in the future, because usually it's a cycle.
You know, exactly.
It's a cycle.
We'll come back. I mean, it happens, you know, my memory.
But anyway, basic in the technical things, I can tell you some details, but I cannot... open, you know, the...
Okay, but you're going to publish a book within a year, right?
Yeah.
De aquí a un año, tendrás un libro publicado.
We're going to have a very important book that's going to start the basic information about the Ferdinand Dauci and his family. Ferdinand Dauci and his family and...
But are you going to include football strategy and tactics?
No, in that book. They're going to put some details. We're going to have another book, you know, to establish, to write in that one what strategies they can. But the strategies are very secret.
Okay.
They're very secret.
Come on. Okay. But who's the best coach today in the world? Do you have a favorite coach?
I think, you know, the basic coach, you need to analyze the results.
Tell me, you don't have a favorite coach?
I have the good ones.
Who's your favorite?
Usually when I ask him about who's your favorite team, he would always say, I don't have a favorite. I only want the really small ones, the bottom of the league, to be really good to win, so they make the league more interesting.
The underdogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Me too. That's why I was happy for Atletico this year.
So he never has a preference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're with Javier Dalfic, hijo de Ferdinand Dalfic, el mayor. El mejor coach de la historia de España, siendo checoslovaco y húngaro.
Olé. Olé.
But we'll be back for a final 25 minutes in just a few seconds, so don't go away.
Disney English Vaughan es un curso de inglés para niños entre 4 y 9 años, donde combinamos el método Vaughan con la magia de Disney. Si tenéis hijos entre 4 y 9 años, les esperamos en todos los centros Vaughan. Puedes consultarnos en grupovaughan.com. Y no te olvides que la formación continúa con el Club Junior y todas las ofertas de formación de la línea Junior de Vaughan.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. 99 euro for 1 year of classes. You can spread the 99 euro over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
¿Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesiten en el colegio? ¿Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores? ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi idioma, lo que les llevará, con trabajo eso sí, pero con trabajo estimulante, a llegar a ese nivel de dominio capaz de sorprender. Club Junior de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com. ¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTVE a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTVE a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma, píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Hello, this is Fitz of No Excuses. Do you know the English expression, you never know until you try? Well, with video conference classes, you never know until you try. Many people will say, no, it can't work. It can, and it does. You never know until you try. Vaughan Video Conference Classes.
Ah, Platón, amigo, déjame hablarte de la paradoja del ejecutivo con el lengua.
¿La qué, Aristóteles?
En el futuro, todas las mujeres y hombres importantes de la Tierra necesitarán comunicarse en la misma lengua para prosperar en sus trabajos, o de lo contrario, no podrán ascender y obtener grandes ganancias. Esa lengua se llamará inglés.
Ajá, lo comprendo, querido Aristóteles, pero sus trabajos y el quehacer cotidiano mantendrán a los hombres y a las mujeres ocupados, y no tendrán tiempo de aprender el foráneo lenguaje. He ahí la paradoja.
Este es tu máster. Infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Y recuerda, también disponible en Valencia y Barcelona.
Ahora más oportunidades de aprender inglés donde y cuando quieras mediante un formato mixto y por teléfono. Clases telefónicas Vaughan. Combina conversaciones fluidas junto con las correcciones propias del método Vaughan, cuya naturaleza dinámica y 100% interactiva lo convierten en la mejor opción para este formato de clase. Recuerda que el signo distintivo de nuestras clases es la calidad del profesor. En Vaughan no es suficiente con un alto nivel de inglés. Nuestro estándar es la excelencia. excelencia. Todos nuestros profesores son nativos y atraviesan un riguroso proceso de formación en clases telefónicas. Clases telefónicas de Vaughan. Ahora donde quieras, cuando quieras, pero con Vaughan. Llama al 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833 para Madrid o llama al 933398687 339-8687 para Barcelona.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back to our last half hour. We're here with Javier Delphic and his daughter, Carolina. Carolina, you said you're working in ISDE.
Yes.
ISDE, yeah. What? Instituto?
Superior de Derecho y Economía.
And what do you do there?
So I'm in charge of taking care of our candidates that do our admission process. And as well, once we finish the summer, we travel all around Spain, and we
not
have
bad.
It's the most enjoyable part of my job because obviously we get to travel around Spain and talk with different schools, and just have a really good basically have a conference within that school.
Your secondary schools, you mean?
Secondary schools,
okay.
Yeah.
Bachillerato.
Yes.
All right, good.
Yes, yes.
So trying to attract the Instituto Superior de Derecho y Economía.
Yes.
And so, but how many different degrees do you offer?
So undergrad, we offer four different programs.
Undergrad, ladies and gentlemen, means undergraduate, que es titulaciones de grado.
Exacto.
That's undergraduate degrees or undergrad.
Undergrad, yeah. Okay. It's basically what you do. Tu carrera.
Yes.
Carrera que
right.
Haces.
Entonces, how many different degrees do you offer? You offer law?
Yes.
Law.
So, our model is that you always have your law degree as a base.
All right.
And then you complement it with a master's that you actually course simultaneously with your law degree. So in 4 years, you actually have two titles.
Titles, no degrees. Titles son nobiliarios. Marqués.
Mm, okay.
The word título,
double award. Then
if you
double
say,
award.
Do you have, people ask me, Richard, do you have any titles? I said, no. Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm not a Marquess.
Double award, more correct.
No, double degree.
No, because it's not a double degree.
What is it?
You have a law degree.
How do you say in Spanish? Tienes una
doble titulación.
Licenciatura en derecho.
Mm-hmm. Y un máster.
What máster?
It's a Spanish. That's a Spanish, how do you say, potpourri? I mean, they're making things like this.
And yes, all right. The aim is to be efficient, to actually course something simultaneously instead of...
Yeah, but it's a four-year to get the...
4 years, yeah.
All right, in 4 years you get the law degree and a master's.
Yes, and within the catalog is four options. So one is Abogacía Internacional.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, Bolsa, and International Finance.
Yeah, a Master in Stock Exchange and International Finance.
Correct. And then Sports Law as well.
Sports Law?
Yeah, Sports Law and
Derecho del Deporte.
And Entertainment. Yeah,
all right.
Correct. Very, very good because obviously within that industry, they demand a lot of lawyers. Because
mm-hmm.
It's not only within sports, also entertainment, esports is an industry that is constantly growing.
How long has this
program?
University existed?
So I think it started 30 years ago.
All right, 30 years
But it
ago.
Only started with master's undergraduate programs.
Okay.
Actual grado. carreras. Started 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
So great. I am lucky that I have a really great boss. She's called Victoria. Hopefully she's listening to me. And just a great team.
But is Easdale located only in Madrid or?
They have the Madrid base, which is the biggest, and they have another one in Barcelona and in Oviedo.
And are most of the classes now online or?
No.
Or in classroom?
Everything is face-to-face. That's one of the greatest things and super differentiate factor about ISDE. As soon as the pandemic finished, lockdown, yeah? The lockdown finished, they went back into full-on normal life.
Right.
And every pupil went back into the classrooms because we believe that's the best way to learn.
Okay.
The best way. Online had its benefits, of course, but at the end of the day, students want to go to their classroom and be with their friends and see their teachers and be able to see them face to face. So we invested a lot of effort and good technology to be able to afford that and offer that to our students.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you taking any courses yourself?
No, but there is the possibility to undertake one of the masters, hopefully in the future. I just started, so I feel it's a bit too soon to ask for something like
that. What kind of masters would you like to do?
Definitely the masters that we have with ISDE. This is a digital MBA. There's actually been taught by them professionals in the area within the best companies in the world, like Salesforce, Google, Amazon. So,
what does ISDE stand for?
I actually do not know, but it's everything about the digitalization of the business. It's great that we actually got bought from the same fund, like the Magnum bought us, both of us, ISDE and ISDE. So this is the first year that we've been be able to offer the law degree plus this super prestigious master's.
I'm trying to find out what ISDE stands for and I can't find it.
No, I think it's basically digital talent.
All right. I can't find it.
No.
So you're collaborating with other organizations in the master's program, in this specific master program?
Only in this one. This is the first one that we've actually been able to mix or combine two organizations.
Right.
So far, it was only us, but because now we share resources.
Do you have anything in the U.S.?
Yes, we as you can see, we only have the base. The office is there. Mm-hmm. But we currently is only administrative. We don't.
In New York.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Yeah.
And here it says Asturias as well.
Yeah. Oviedo. Yeah.
In Oviedo? Yes. Sí, la sede es de ISDE, en la zona más céntrica de Oviedo.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice city, Oviedo.
Yes.
I like it very much. Have you been?
To Oviedo? No. Because I feel that because I've been going to Galicia every single summer of my life, I haven't traveled around the north of Spain, which I wish I.
Well, it's not too different from Galicia.
Exactly, it's quite similar, but I'm wanting to explore that area. I feel that the north of Spain is actually beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very, very different to what actually, foreign people are used to.
I know.
So they have this standard of Spain is only sun, beach, and great food, of course.
Well, people always have stereotypes of the other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just human nature.
Yeah, they go to the most popular places, so they don't get to know the actual, the deep Spain.
The deep Spain is not only in the north. I mean, there are many, many places. You know, a lot of very few people. Very few Americans have ever even heard of Burgos or Salamanca or Segovia. I mean, they've heard of Madrid, Barcelona, Seville, Granada, maybe. And that's it.
The islands as well.
Well, that's in Great Britain. I'm talking about Americans. Americans don't know Ibiza.
No?
Well, in England, they pronounce it Ibiza, right?
Oh, my God.
I think they say Ibiza.
Yes.
Con la zeta ceceada, o sea, la zeta española.
Yeah, they do.
Castellana, but they say Ibiza, I think. It's a favorite place for the hen parties, right?
But in America, don't tell me that. I'm going this summer. Hopefully, I don't bump into
a hen party.
No, to Ibiza I'm going. Yeah. Ibiza and Formentera.
I've never gone, and I will never go. To Ibiza. Huh? No, Ibiza está gafada.
Why so?
Gafada.
Only for you.
Only for me.
Why so?
There's a reason.
Mm.
When I came to Spain for the first time in my life at age 20, the first trip I took outside of Madrid was hitchhiking from Madrid to Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
And to hitchhike successfully at that time, you had to have a girl. So I went with Lena. Lena's was an American student.
But was your girlfriend?
No.
No,
she was a compañera de viaje, digamos. And so we hitchhiked from Madrid to... Hitch is un enganche.
Yeah.
Hitch is un enganche. Un enganche de remolque, for example. Hike is hacer marchas, a pie. So es andar y enganchar. You understand? Hitchhike. You say hacer autostop, which is a technical word.
I did it when I was in the...
Yeah. And so we went because we wanted to go to Ibiza. And so we got to Valencia, we went to the port, we got, and by half a minute, they closed the gate. So it's too late. We missed the ship by 30 seconds. And I said, the man said, we understand, but we can't, it's the rules are the rules. And he said, by the way, and I said, well, I don't know, what can we do now? He said,
wait.
There's a, no. We'd have to wait 24 hours.
Okay.
But no. He said...
And since that moment you said, I'm never going to be late ever again.
Yeah. But it wasn't my fault, really. It was because of the bus. There was a problem.
Contingencies.
But he said there's a annual festival down in Sueca. Sueca is a town in Nada Más Pasar La Bufera, here in Sueca. And so we caught a commuter train down to Sueca and spent the night there and had a good time with the festival. We only had a weekend with the locals.
Oh.
And that's the first time I ran with the bulls and the only time.
Really? Never again?
No. You're dangerous. Yeah. Those bulls are fast. But it wasn't running with the bulls. It was an encierro, going in, you know, and playing with the bulls in the ring.
Right.
And they're very, very fast. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say I'll never go to Ibiza. I've been to Mallorca, I've been to Menorca, but I've never been to Ibiza or Formentera.
Oh, I've been there and I had, you know, an accident, car accident.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a second reason I'm not going to go.
Was that time?
We are lucky that we actually, of course, we're going to Ibiza, but we are very lucky because we have a friend that she's been brought up there, and she's gonna just take us to the best places that nobody know and
the secret places.
The secret places, the local secret places. Yeah.
All right. Have you been to Ibiza before?
No, never. So that's why I'm so excited. Okay. All right.
Well, where do you go to go in Galicia? Where do you go to Pontevedra or?
So, is there a region of La Coruña?
Mm-hmm.
But the Ría is La Ría de Arousa. And at the end of that, there is a little village called Ribeira, and that's where
is
where
it
I
near
go.
Finisterre?
No, Finisterre is slightly above. It's not the same Ría.
All right, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it on the map. What's the name of it again? The town?
Ribeira. You can type it with a V or a B.
Well, you have the Ribeira Sacra. Ribeira. Ribeira. And Ribeira? This is Ribeira Sacra, Ribeira Oporto. I can't find it.
Type Ribeira La Coruña.
All right, we'll find it.
Yeah, that's the one.
I found it. Let's see. All right. Ribeira, I said con V. Okay, Ribeira con V.
Both are correct because one is in Galician and one is in Spanish.
Okay, well, no, I've never been there. Oh, it's very close to... Okay, yes, I have.
You have?
Well, no, I've been to El Grove. Okay, I've been to the El Grove and I've been to the other. You have to go now.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Catalina has to leave because otherwise she'll arrive late.
It's
a pleasure having you on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
You'll have to come back someday and we can talk a lot more.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Well,
good luck on everything.
Thank you.
You're leaving with solo ante yo, ante el peligro tu padre.
Yeah, I leave you, the two of you, solo.
Okay. Good luck and everything and quietly.
Discreetly
leave the room.
Always.
All right. And say goodbye to Nacho.
Bye, Nacho. Thank you so much.
Bye. All right. Take care. All right, Don Javier. My God. You have a nice daughter.
Yes. I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I think.
And she's working in, she has a very good job working in recruitment.
Good to start in Spain in uni like ISDE. And I think is, okay, this first step in Spain, I think, is going to be great.
All right.
For her.
Okay, how old were you when your father died?
In 1986, I was 27 or 28,
okay. And of your 9 brothers and sisters, how many are still living?
Still living just 4 of my brothers and me, 5.
Five of you.
Because both, 2 of them, I never met them because they died before I born.
Before I was born.
I was born, yeah.
Did they die in Spain or in...
Sonia is the first one they died.
She?
She died in when they escape, you know, and they when they arrive. And the other Nandi, Ferdinand, you know, they died when my father's... when he was in Barcelona Football Club. Even I have some article, you know, in the newspapers that they said, you know, was died because a truck take him.
Okay. Hit him.
Hit him, yeah.
Ran over him, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. But
with 7 years old.
Only 7?
Seven,
wow.
7, 8, yes.
It was very hard on your mother and father.
Yes, I was always thinking about that, and we've been talking about that. But my parents, they are always ahead, forward.
Yeah.
They don't was thinking.
But Sonia died during the escape.
No, when they was in Spain, but he was...
No, the girl.
The girl, yes, Sonia. They was, when they escaped, they died, you know, exactly, I don't know, because my parents, they don't want to talk about about that, because they want to go forward.
And how many of the brothers became football players? You and how many others?
You know, my brother Janko, okay?
Janko Dautzik.
Yeah, Dautzik. He was playing Real Madrid. He was playing in Atletico Madrid. He was playing Rayo. He was playing Mallorca. I've been with him when I was a very little boy. I've been in Mallorca. Oh, they have a beautiful house there. I really don't know why he don't bought that house. You know, it was a fantastic.
I don't understand.
House.
You don't know why what?
You know, my when I went there. You know, I don't know, with 7 or 8 years old with my brother Ignacio. Okay, my brother Ignacio, born in Bilbao, of course.
Was born in Bilbao.
Was born in Bilbao. You know, my sister, Montserrat, they born in... My sister, Montserrat...
Was born?
Was born in Barcelona.
All right.
My sister, Carmen, they born...
Was born... Well, can you insert just they? My sister, Carmen, was born...
Was born in Mallorca. Andrade.
And you were born in Madrid.
And I born in Madrid.
I was
born in Madrid.
You were born. Woof, we have a lot of work with here. A lot of work. But Janko was a. So he was. He played during the 60s.
60s, yeah. 60s.
All right. And he was with Real Madrid. What position did he play?
He played center forward.
Center forward?
Yeah. He played center forward. And he was very close of
very
Alfredo.
Close to.
Close to
Very
Alfredo.
Close to Alfredo,
to
Stefano.
Alfredo Stefano. Because when Alfredo arrived to Spain, he was living in Barcelona with my father and my uncle. For that reason.
Alfredo Stefano?
Yes.
All right.
And his family, Sara, the mother, of course, was not alive. And it was, I get, you know, all that information for different ways, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they was together. because
they were together.
They were together, and of course, you know, Alfredo was signed by Barcelona. Barcelona, yeah.
And he originally signed for Barcelona.
Yeah, I think he said to me he was living for that reason. He was living
in Barcelona,
with my father and my uncle and then, his family. With
what happened that brought him to Real Madrid?
I think they have some fighting, okay, or
disagreement
between the contract, because Barcelona had a contract with River Plate, and Real Madrid had a contract with Millonarios of Colombia. In that period, I heard that the Colombian league was not regulated, but the International Federation, okay, and was not legal league. And,
all right.
And anyway, this was the difference between, you know, Madrid and Barcelona. But finally, for some reasons, probably for some money, you know, Barcelona received something, and Alfredo Stefano finally went to...
Was Santiago Bernabeu the president of Real Madrid at that time? I don't remember.
I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
All right. He came a little later.
I think I came a little later.
Yeah. All right. And this, we're talking about the year 1954, perhaps, maybe. When did Alfredo Di Stefano come to Spain?
I think 54, around.
Alfredo, I think around 54, but I'm not sure. Huh? Mm-hmm. Let's see, Alfredo Di Stefano, he came, he started playing. Wow, it's a long, here we are. He played in River Plate, then he played in Huracán in Argentina, then he played in Millonarios in Colombia. And Real Madrid in
1954.
All right. Yeah, and he scored a lot of goals in that first year. His best year from the point of view of goals was in 1956-57. Mm-hmm. All right. And how many goals did you score?
I score many, you know, but I don't have, you know, listed. Okay.
Is there any one goal you remember as your best goal?
I have many of them, but anyway, specifically, I don't have, you know, any special memories. I have, you know, something with Numancia. I fail a penalty.
You missed a penalty.
Yeah, I miss a penalty with Numancia. Yeah.
But was it an important penalty?
Always is important. Was an important. Well, very important. Not was a normal.
And why did you miss the penalty? What mistake did you make?
Because I make the mistakes. Okay,
What mistake did you make in that particular penalty?
I don't remember exactly.
All right.
I know what part I throw. You know, the penalty was in the.
I shot the penalty.
I shot in the left side of the goalkeeper.
All right.
And he was jumping that player part, and he stopped, you know.
He stopped the goal. Yeah. So he read which way you were going to shoot.
Yeah.
All right. In your next life, do you want to get into football again?
Yes, but more with more knowledges, of course. And with more knowledges, I have the...
More knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge, yes, knowledge. No tiene ese. Okay. Conocimiento es incontable.
Okay.
All right. Here you say conocimientos. I don't know why you say that.
Because in Spanish is conocimientos. ¿No?
Entonces puedes tener un conocimiento, dos conocimientos. Tengo tres, siete conocimientos sobre eso. Cuando pluralizas, entonces you can individualize too. You understand?
Okay. Knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge. Well, that everybody says that. You know, about any area. Boy, if I were 20 years old now with the knowledge I have now.
Of course.
The knowledge is gained over many years of experience of ups and downs. Altibajos, experience.
You can analyze even in your case.
Yeah, wisdom. I mean, I was a very good teacher when I was 22. I was.
Yeah, probably.
But it was the power of my personality. It wasn't the technical skill. And then through the years, I've added the technical skill, on these things. But it takes a long time. It takes 10,000 hours of doing something to become an expert.
Yeah.
You know, It's like a pilot.
Some people, they need more time than others.
Yeah.
But with constancy.
Yeah, with consistency.
Consistency, you get the target.
You reach the goal.
You reach the goal.
You reach
the
goal.
No, the thing is, it's like for that reason in football, in the system of Ferdinand Daucic is how to evaluate, you know, and get higher the percentage of your own possibilities to, if you make better your players,
mm-hmm.
the results of the team going to be better with no any.
So if you bring a 20-year-old player, you can improve that player.
Of course. The thing is, the only secret is to get the basic question that you need, you know, the common denominator, you know, for the people.
Common denominator.
Yeah.
All right, we're with Javier Daucic, youngest son of Fernando Daucic, el entrenador de mayores número de títulos de la historia de España in football.
No, just in big teams, in small teams.
For
that
well.
Reason. Okay.
All right. And we'll have to come back another day and talk more about football, okay? It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, great.
All right. Take great. Care and we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Hi, it's Alberto Alonso from the show with no name on Vaughn Radio. Why should you listen to Vaughn Radio daily? I'll give you 12 reasons, aside from the obvious one. Learning English and having fun along the way. You can explore Western civilizations with Guy Williams. Go back to basics with Tosh Pasqua. Speak football with Tommy and Ruben on Saturdays. Chow down on some exciting English with Andy and Rob on the Lunchtime Show. Or test your English with Ximena Holiday. Join Jessica Fernandez on the Hour to Empower. The Salad with Dave Boyce. Kyle Miller's Drive Time. No Excuses with Fitz. And last but certainly not least, the man,